Nice to see all of you this morning. Hi. Did you notice that it snowed last night? Did you see that? Yeah. It's going to be, I got to tell you, it's going to be perfect snow for making snowmen, snow women, for snowballs. As long as you don't throw them at your pastor. It'll be great. Hey, I want to tell you something this morning, but I need Pastor Luke to come up to help me with this, actually. Because I'm pretty sure, Pastor Luke, tell me, did you tell me one time that you went skydiving?
Yes.
You know what skydiving is? It's when you jump out of an airplane with a parachute.
Good. Perfectly good.
So
airplane.
I just wanted to ask you. So tell me about this. When you did this, you went skydiving, jumping. Did you just kind of go up in an airplane and jump out? Or well, was there more?
There's more to it, like, a little bit.
Like, what? Like, were there steps before you could do that? Like, what did you do first? What?
Yeah, so you get there, and they tell you what you're going to do. So they give you a little briefing.
Okay, so you got to listen.
You
that's the
listen.
First step. And
yeah.
then what else? What happened?
And then they tell you, how to land. That's the most important thing.
Before you even start, you land.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to land, you know?
Okay.
Like, you got to keep your legs up, and you got to figure out that you slide on the grass on your bottom. That's how you land.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then do you go up in the airplane and jump out? Or what?
Well, then you got to get the suit on.
Oh, a suit?
Yeah. It's kind of like a harness, and they get you all hooked up, and they tell you, you know, this is how you get clipped in. Yeah.
Then, so what's on this harness? Is there something else that
well,
goes with it?
You don't get to go by yourself the first time. You got somebody connected to you. So,
okay.
So the harness doesn't actually have the parachute on it. It just has clips, and then you get clipped to the guy behind you.
Okay, so you go up in the airplane with two people, and then he pushes you out.
Well, kind of. That's what happened in my case, but it's not supposed to be like that.
Not quite like okay. Okay, so you go get on the airplane, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay.
The next step, you have to wait for it to be nice weather first.
Okay.
So we had to wait a little while for it to be nice weather.
Okay. So
and then we get in the airplane, and you don't realize that you've never been in an airplane where the door opens. You know?
No, I've never been on an airplane where the door opens.
In the middle
Thank
of the air.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah.
The
okay.
door just opens, you know? So yeah, we're all in there, and we're clipped in.
Yep.
Okay? And then they kind of shuffle you. They shuffle you all the way to the door. And then you stand at the door.
At the door.
At the door.
So like you're looking down like
yes.
5 feet?
No.
Like 10 feet?
No more than that.
Like 20 feet?
No more than that.
Like how far?
Like 8,000 feet.
8,000 feet? That's more than a mile
up
in the sky?
I know.
Can you imagine that? Okay, so what? This is when I go back and sit down.
Yeah.
No, okay, what happens next?
So they shuffle you up to the side, and you're looking down, and you're looking down at the ground. And you're about to jump out. And so they go, one, two, and then at two, they kind of nudge you out. Because at three, otherwise you grab onto the sides.
Okay,
so they nudge
okay,
you out
before
at
three.
Two. I know, yeah.
Good to know. Okay, so then you're flying down through the sky.
And then it's just like, you'd think it'd be like, you know, it's a pillow. The wind catches you like a pillow.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's soft, you feel?
Well, you could say that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're just flying down, and your face is going the whole time, and it's a blast.
Oh, how cool. And so then the guy that you're with, he pulls a cord, or the parachute goes up.
Yeah, the parachute goes up. You kind of look at your altitude on your watch, and it'll tell you that you're, you know, at this, you know, height, you're
like
supposed
you're
to pull
8,
the chute.
Like you're at 8,000, now you're at 7, and at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, at 3,000, you have to make sure you pull your chute. So,
okay,
and then you float.
You float.
And then you float.
Is that so cool?
I know. It was
could
so cool.
Could you see like forever?
Yeah. You could see for miles.
Oh, how?
It's so cool.
And then you come down and you celebrate.
Yes.
Oh, I love
Everybody
it.
Everybody cheers. And
oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Does that sound like fun? Maybe, maybe not. By the way, we're not recommending this necessarily. You need to talk to your parents about it sometime. But here's what I want to think about. Now, Pastor Luke, when you're following Jesus, it reminds me of that a little bit, like how Jesus says, follow me, and he doesn't, like you don't end up over, you just take your next step. You're
yeah.
like, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to know?
Yeah.
And then, okay, I'll do this. And then, okay, what do you want me to know next? And you follow him another. And so following Jesus is a lot like that, where you just step by step, you listen to what Jesus is teaching you. That's why we read the Bible or come to church. And then we say, okay, I'll follow you.
Yeah.
I'll trust you, like that song we were just singing. And pretty soon you find out that you're having more fun than you ever dreamed as you follow Jesus. I mean, that's the way it is. The disciples in the Bible, they just step by step, they follow him.
Yeah.
And amazing things happen. Yeah. Hey, let's pray for just a minute, but I want you to know that following Jesus, step by step, just keep listening, taking your next step. Before you know it, you'll be doing just more fun things, greater things than you ever dreamed of. Let's pray for just a minute. Lord, thanks so much for these boys and girls. Thank you that you love each one of them and that you're calling them and all of us to follow you. And that we can trust you. We do. We trust you, Lord, and we'll follow where you lead. And we pray, God, that that we'll enjoy. That we'll be full of that joy that comes as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up. You can go back this way to Miss Hannah for Children's Church, for Flourish, or back with your families. Thanks, Pastor Luke. I think we should give Pastor Luke a hand there. It does sound like a lot of fun, doesn't it? No? Some people like this. Some people like, nah, I don't think so. It's great to be together. I'm Mark Patty. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, the senior pastor here, and it's my just terrific joy to share the Word of God with you this morning. I'm so excited about what God has been saying to me and what I have the privilege of sharing with you this morning. I'm aware that our numbers are a little down this morning. I'm not sure why. Actually, we've got a bunch of people in Israel who are, you know, they kind of escaped from the cold weather here. And then the times changed. And then it snowed, and then, yeah, so welcome to here. Here's the thing that's been going through my mind this morning as I walked into the other service, which, by the way, was earlier than this one, and there were even less people, or, you know. God's been doing amazing things through few people all along the way. Today we're going to talk about the Apostle Peter. God changed the world through Peter and the first few disciples. What God's looking for this morning, not huge crowds, he's looking for you. And if you'll follow him, he will change your life and change this world through you. He'll accomplish abundantly far more than you have even dreamed of. That's what happens every time somebody, like we were just talking about, takes that next step and follows Jesus. So I invite you to listen in this morning as we reflect on the story of the Apostle Peter, kind of waking up to Jesus' call and leaving everything. Leaving, well, kind of like that step, leaving everything to follow Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you invite us into the greatest adventure. More than we could ever imagine. We thank you for those who through the years, those few who have really listened to your call and followed you. We're praying for masses of people to come to you. But right now, Lord, I'm praying for us to come to you. For maybe one or two or five or ten, maybe all of us here this morning to truly hear your word and respond in faith. Grant us, God, the joy of hearing your call and waking up to what you are calling us to do and to be by your power. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So some of you may have heard me tell this story before. Back right after 9/11, this just horrible event in our nation's life together. Right afterward, that night actually, at our church, we had all the different churches in town and the synagogue also. Everybody came and gathered at our church for a prayer meeting. And just a few weeks later, we had a big gathering with thousands out at the football stadium in our town. And throughout that time, I was meeting with people, gathering people, working hard to try to encourage people to have faith, to trust God, to work together. It was, as I'm sure any of you who were alive at that time know, a time of great anxiety. And I felt a lot of responsibility as a pastor. And I remember about a month into that time, early October, I had a dream at night in which Jesus met me in this little glen, this little opening in the woods. We were sitting there together, me and Jesus. He was smiling at me. And then he kind of nodded to me. And I knew what he was asking was for me to race him around this glen. And so I, sure, Jesus, I'll take you on, you know. And so I started to get up. And before I was all the way up, he had come all the way around the glen and was standing behind me just smiling. I'm like, and then he does it again. I'm like, okay. And this time in my mind's eye, before I got up, he had run all the way around the whole globe and was standing behind me, just smiling. And I just fell on my knees. Not that I was off them hardly, but I just fell down on my knees before him with tears in my eyes and said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to do this all on my own. I've been trying to save the world, to help everybody in my own power. I'm so sorry. Kind of this moment where I woke up to who I am before Jesus and who Jesus is, this one who rules the wind and the waves. In today's gospel lesson, we find Peter having that kind of wake-up moment before Jesus. Actually, I'm going to tell the passage in just a moment, but I invite you to listen to that one place where Peter falls on before Jesus' knees. It's the only place in the whole passage where Peter is called Simon Peter. Everywhere else in these 11 verses, he's called Simon, which is the name, you know, he had been born with. Jesus changes his name, calls him Peter, the rock. The place where he's called Simon Peter, this rock, is the place where Peter is on his knees, where he's been broken. He's like realizing who he is and who Jesus is. It's just been a reminder to me all week that the time that we gain our greatest strength is when we are the weakest, when before Jesus we realize it's not in my strength, but who I can be as I follow you, your strength alive in me. So I invite you to listen in to the story of the spiritual awakening, which is an ongoing process for Peter and for us, but this moment of particular spiritual awakening for Peter. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of them, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked them to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down in the boat and taught the crowds. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "We've been working hard all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will do it." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. So they called their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the partners of Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter woke up that day. Now, this had been a long time coming for Peter. chapter 4, in the Gospel of Luke, you see that Jesus has already been in Capernaum, Peter's hometown, Simon's hometown. He's already cast out an unclean spirit that is in the synagogue there, in somebody in the synagogue. And after going to synagogue, Simon brings Jesus to his own town, to his own home, and Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. I'm not sure if Simon was hoping for that or not. No, just kidding. They went. Then that afternoon, Mark tells us that it was in Peter's front yard. Jesus that night is casting out demons, teaching people. He's healing people. I mean, Simon's been watching Jesus at work. You got to imagine that he's been thinking, what is the effect? What's Jesus' call on my life? So there's been this movement toward Jesus all this time. But in today's passage, he wakes up fully. I realize who I am before you, Jesus, and I realize who you are. I got to follow you. There's a guy named Ian Thomas. He was a great evangelist in the last century. This book that actually a member of our congregation gave me by a guy named V. Raymond Edmond. He used to be the president of Wheaton College. He writes this book called They Found the Secret, and it's full of stories of people who had these spiritual awakenings, who came alive to Christ's purpose and call in their lives. And one of them is this Ian Thomas. Ian Thomas was called. He felt called to be an evangelist. He thought he'd become a missionary to India. And for 7 years, he was working hard. Every time he got a chance, he was preaching the gospel. Street corners, meeting with people, always trying to draw people to Christ, to convert people to following Jesus. And he was a complete failure. 7 years in, this one night, he just fell on his knees crying, weeping before God, and confessing his failure. Saying, I thought I was supposed to be an evangelist. I haven't even converted one person in 7 years. I thought I was going to go to India to be a missionary, but if I can't even communicate the gospel effectively here in the UK, how could I go to India? And let me read what he writes at that point. That night, things happened. This was the moment Jesus had been waiting for. Jesus had been waiting for the time when at last I would fall down in hopeless despair. I heard his voice, to me to live is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, for 7 years, with utmost sincerity, you have been trying to live for me, on my behalf, the life that I have been waiting for 7 years to live through you. Ian Thomas woke up to Jesus' call that night. He says he stepped out the door the next morning with a new song in my heart. I was saying, Lord Jesus, I thank thee that for the first time in my life, this is thy day. I no longer have the burden of running my own life. At last, I have a governor capable of governing. It reminds me of time back summer after 10th grade. What I see is the key spiritual awakening for me, turning point in my life. I was listening to a speaker who was talking about how our lives are like a car. We're driving down the road, and we want to have the steering wheel. And Jesus, he may actually be in the passenger seat with us. We may have invited him into the car. Come into my life, Jesus, but I'm going to hang on to the steering wheel. And there comes a time in our lives when we've got to decide, are we going to hand over the steering wheel to Jesus, or are we going to hang on to it ourselves? Are we going to live this life for Jesus but driving it in control ourselves? Or are we going to say, Jesus, this is your life. This is your car. Do what you will. You know, when I was controlling, when I do control, try to control the steering wheel, I end up crashing and burning along the way. I need to hand it over to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is, well, as Ian Thomas says, thy life. And it changes everything. And I can enter into a day like today and say, whatever comes my way, God, I trust that you will be at work in me and through me, that you'll accomplish your purpose. Mark Patty is not that great a pastor. He's not that powerful. I can't convert anybody. I can't force any of you to wake up to Jesus' call, to feel that joy that we're talking about, that I long for each one of you to wake up to. But Jesus can do that. He is the power one. Peter's been working all night out there in the lake. But when Jesus says the word, when Peter follows Jesus' call, well, the fish are just hopping into the boat. And as Peter goes out, fishing for people, He finds that what Jesus did for him, Jesus is doing for other people. You see, it was Jesus who caught Peter, wasn't it? He'd been fishing. As he came into town and he's speaking and he's teaching and he's catching. He's netting in Peter. There comes that time when Peter's going to have to decide, am I going to stay in the net? Am I going to come with that net? Am I going to come to Jesus? Because Jesus won't force you. You can swim away. You can go with the current, wherever the current takes you. But you can also say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to come to you. I want to allow you to live this life through me that you created me to live. And I want to invite each one of us to say yes to Jesus this morning. You know, I think about what it's like trying to teach a child to swim. You know, you might, at a pool, bring the child over to the edge and say, here, let's dangle our feet. You know, just feel, it's wet. Doesn't that feel good? Hey, let's go sit on the first step here. Let's sit on the second step. Let's go a little deeper, like Peter's doing for Jesus here. Oh, here, trust me. Trust me. Would you? I'm going to hold on to your arms and we're just going to, ooh, isn't that fun? You see, the key for that child is not figuring out how to swim. The key for that child is to trust the teacher. If you trust the teacher, you're going to learn how to swim. Here, let me put my hand under your belly and you just kick. You just start. You're going to be okay. You're okay. You're okay. Okay. Yeah, look at that. You're learning. Wow, that's working. It's all about trusting the teacher. And, of course, when it comes to swimming, there comes that point where, as a teacher, you hope maybe the child will learn to swim better than you did. But it's never that way with Jesus. In our lives, we're always learning more and more, going deeper and deeper, further and further. And every step of the way, we've got to trust Jesus. Enough to follow, to say, yes, Lord, I will go wherever you lead me. This is the key thing for each one of us in our lives, is to say yes to Jesus, to follow him, to wake up to Jesus' call in our lives. So I want to ask four questions here for us to reflect on in terms of what it means to wake up to Jesus' call. And the first one is, are you listening? This is the key question every day when you wake up. Are you listening for Jesus' call? As we come to the scriptures, are you reading them to do your duty, or are you saying, Jesus, speak to me? As you pray, as you dream, like for me, Jesus speaks to me through a myriad of different ways. Are you listening? In chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus will tell that story, that parable that's in each one of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about the sower with the seed. And some of the seed falls into good soil. Those are the ones who are listening. And it bears fruit. The Gospels of Mark and Matthew talk about 30, 60, and 100-fold. This one, he just says 100-fold. If you listen, you're going to bear 100-fold. You can't even imagine right now, Peter, what I can do through your life if you'll just follow me. So are you listening, first of all? Second thing is, what's your next step? Are you listening and ready to take your next step? Will you take your step today? You know, it's always that way, just like learning how to jump out of an airplane. You know, you don't just go with, you know, it's a step-by-step process for us spiritually. Every day waking up, Jesus, what are you calling me to do? I will take my next step. I will trust in you. That song's been going through my mind all week long. I will trust in you, and I'll take my next step. So what's your next step? With every aspect of your lives, today we're going to talk about the financial aspect, your stewardship commitment financially through the ministry of Salem Covenant Church. But really what we're talking about is every aspect of your lives. Another key metaphor that I remember from that night when I recommitted my life to Christ, that was a turning point in my life, was the speaker talked about our lives as a chest of drawers, and that we may well have given Jesus a bunch of the drawers, maybe almost all of the drawers, but we kept this little one to ourselves, or maybe this big one. And there come those times when we need to wake up and say, you know what, Jesus, I need to give you this one too. Today we're talking about the spiritual or the financial stewardship. And honestly, this is often the key one that keeps us from giving the whole dresser to Jesus. Like, I'll follow you with my time. I'll follow you with my, I need to stay in control of this part of my life. And maybe today Jesus is saying, I want your all, including your finances. That doesn't mean what God's calling you, Jesus is calling you, the next step for you is going to be the same as for me, for my wife. But he's calling you. He's saying, follow me. And we need to be listening. What's my next step financially? And of course, as we commit, I invite you to be praying about those other aspects, every single one you can think of, what it is you're holding back that Jesus is calling you to give. But what's your next step in following Jesus? Third, what do you need to leave behind? If you're going to follow Jesus, what do you need to let go of, leave behind? You know, when it comes to finances, it might be that thing you want to buy, or it might be that trip you want to take, I don't know. Might be that sense of security as you venture out and start tithing or step up to another level of giving. It might be as you follow Jesus, what you need to do is let go of some shame, some guilt that you're carrying around. You know, think about Peter, the step-by-step following Jesus. If you know Peter's story, you know he didn't do it all perfectly, did he? As the Gospel of Luke goes on, he's going to do really well, and he's going to be an absolute failure at times. The second to the last time we see Peter in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, it's when he denies even knowing Jesus. Jesus is going before the Sanhedrin, the chief priests. Peter goes off crying in tears because he had denied Jesus. In the Gospel, or in Luke's next story, the Acts, you see Peter stepping in front of thousands of people, standing up for Jesus, proclaiming that he knows Jesus. In chapter 4, he actually speaks to the high priests and the Sanhedrin about Jesus. You know, he falls, but he's got to let go of that guilt. He's got to let go of that shame so that he can take his next step. He's continually doing that. We need to continually doing that. What is it you need to let go of, leave behind? Is it your fear? Your fear of failure? Your fear of embarrassing yourself? Is it your fear? What is it for you that you need to say, I will trust in you and I'm going to venture forward, take my next step? And finally, the fourth one is, and this is the most important one, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? It ultimately begins and ends with this question. Have you said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I will trust in you. I will follow you where you lead. Have you given him the wheel of the car? Have you given him the drawers and the dresser? Have you given him your life? Today, yeah, it's Stewardship Commitment Sunday. But that's just a piece of it. Today is Commitment Sunday. It's the day to say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. As you say that, well, then we go back down the list. So what are you going to leave behind as you follow him, since he's Lord? What is going to be your next step because he's Lord? Are you listening because he's Lord? We're going to take the offering in a few moments. I'm going to invite you to consider these financial stewardship cards. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But right now, what I want to talk about is inviting you to name Jesus as the Lord of your life right here and right now. Maybe for some here, this is the first time you've ever said that. I want to invite you to do that. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. For others of us, it may be your next step, another, you know, each day I need to do this, name him as Lord. So let's bow in a moment of prayer. And if you feel so led, I'd invite you in the silence of your heart to repeat after me these words. Lord Jesus, I name you Lord of my life. Forgive me for hanging on to the wheel. for holding things back from you. Today, I give you all of me. Give me ears to hear your voice. Give me the faith and the courage to follow you. Help me today to take my next step and trust in you. Jesus, thank you. You are Lord of my life. Amen. So today is Stewardship Commitment Sunday. I think I mentioned that, right? So I'll invite you on your way in, or maybe you brought it from home. If you've been giving in the past to Salem or through the ministry of Salem, you received one of these in the mail. I invite you to take out the card. You'll notice on the back of the card, there's a staircase. And I invite you to see on there where you've been, where you are in terms of your giving over the past year, and to pray about taking your next steps. I know many of you have already been praying about this, and I just, one more time, to commit into God what you've already decided, or to ask God for his leading of what your next step is. Maybe for some, it is time for you to step up the staircase, one or two steps. Maybe it's time for you to take the risk of tithing, giving 10% of your income to God through the ministry of your church. On the other side, there's a place for your name, address, for you to write in the gift you intend to give. To be very honest, this is helpful in our planning as a church. We want to be responsible stewards. So if we have some sense of what we expect, what people expect to be giving over the coming year, it really helps us in our planning for the coming year. And having said that, my bigger concern is for each one of us as stewards, as disciples of Jesus. Because there's something about discipleship that is supposed to be more than following the emotion of the moment, of where we feel we are week by week. Discipleship, faithful stewardship, is about deciding, I want to follow you, Jesus. Here's my commitment. You can always give more as God leads. And if God leads, finances, you can always give less. But making these kinds of commitments are really important to growing as stewards, as disciples. And I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. For some of you, if you don't attend Salem, I don't want you making the commitment here until next week at least when you come back. But I am praying that all of us will make a commitment. If you're not prepared, you need to go home and pray some more about it. I want to encourage you to do that. If you need to talk to your spouse about it, your broker or whatever, you know, that's fine. But I want to encourage you to make a commitment. And if you're prepared this morning, I want to encourage you to come up during the offering and lay your commitment on the table, as well as any offerings that you may have come prepared to give or God's leading you to make. For those of you who aren't prepared, just so you can participate in this, I might encourage you to write down on here just a commitment. Lord, I commit to praying about this. I commit to making a commitment about this. Or maybe for some, you want to make that personal statement today, for the first time, saying, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Maybe that's the commitment you write down. But I want to invite all of us to come forward and make a commitment to following Jesus as Lord. So we'll take just a moment in case you haven't filled out your card. I want to invite you to go ahead and do that, and then I'm going to pray in just a moment. But let's take about 90 seconds here and write something down on your card if you haven't already. I like this quote up on the screen. As we cry out to God for the hope and healing he alone can offer, may we offer ourselves and our gifts with gratitude and hopeful anticipation. Jesus has long made remarkable use of meager gifts and imperfect people, granting them by his mercy and grace the joy of participating in his mighty work. Lord, we thank you for inviting us to be a part of your mighty work. We thank you for the miraculous, wonderful things you've done through the ages, through people like Simon Peter, and that you are doing and will do through people like us. And so, God, we offer these commitments to you this morning with thanks for what you have in store. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We invite you to come forward as you feel led during this time. Such a joy to worship with you this morning. Such a joy to look forward to what God has in store for you and through you, for us and through us in the coming year. So God bless you. Go out and be a blessing. And if you'd like to meet with me, if anybody wants to talk about or pray about making Jesus Lord of your life this morning, I'd invite you to meet me over in this corner. I'll be out there. I'll be over there hanging out for a little while. I'd love to pray with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you and be evident through your lives forever. Amen. Thank you.